Government Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on VBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 11th on the West Coast, now February the 12th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening in on BlogTalkRadio.com as well as on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, especially those in the U.S. military. I think you're going to find tonight's show very, very interesting in light of some recent news releases that certainly have a bit of spin attached to them. Want to let you know that those of you who tuned in to last night's show with Allison Jones got a ton of email, folks asking when she's going to be back on again. Of course, we announced she'll be on again, Tuesday the 23rd of this month, and she enjoyed herself and really found it interesting and exhilarating. She's been holding in a lot of information about vaccinations for a number of years. Certainly 25 years is a long time to spend on the topic, and as she related to you, she had personal reasons for doing so because a family member, one of her children, was struck with autism, and she attributes that to a vaccination or several vaccinations that he received very early on. The rest of her children, as she quoted, were not vaccinated and are doing quite well, and are doing very well in college or have even graduated from college with honors. Something to consider. Now, I'm going to jump right in and bring tonight's guest on. He's been a regular guest on Evident Footprints for a number of months since we were brought together with a mutual friend, the late Marianne Ponder. And Marianne was trying to get us to interview each other on our shows, and unfortunately she didn't live to see that, but we know that her spirit is with us and that she's not just listening, she's also watching. And we get that message every once in a while. Also, Dr. Greg Evenson was brought together, again, by Marianne Ponder. And the three of us, Dr. Greg and tonight's guest and myself, have become very close friends and are working together in this attempt to restore our nation back to its original constitutional republic. And that said, I'm going to bring on our guest tonight. As some of you already know him, some new listeners have no idea who I'm talking about. He hosts his own radio show on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. It's called A Marine's Disquisition, and our guest is former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And those of you that want to know more about me, that's all you need to know.
Well, I want to give your website out to folks right off the top. So we usually wait till the end of the hour, and I want to make sure that people get it and can visit you. You put out a news and views almost every day of the week. In fact, even though you do it Monday through Friday, you're doing it on the weekends many times, too, because there's just too much news to pass up. And
it's not a matter of too much news to pass up. There's too much hidden news that people need to know about. It just can't wait till Monday morning, because if I waited till Monday morning, I'd have to put out news and views three times.
Yes, exactly. Your website is the three W's, www.amd.elequity.com. Again, amd.elequity.com. And you've got a ton of information posted on your website, Drew, as well. We often talk about that on the show. Sometimes I don't pay enough attention to that, and I want to promote what you're doing because you're kind of doing the same thing I'm doing. You've been doing it longer, and you have a listening audience all over the world, and folks should help you out if they can as well.
Well, they do, and this last week we have an unexpected major calamity comes forth, and calamity is an appropriate word. My webmaster basically had to move out of the building in which she was in and move everything to another site, and I had to cough up 500 big ones to basically keep L Equity website up, not just for me, but for my electronic company as well as my real estate division, and as well as Megan's two sites that she has posted within L Equity. And I put a plea out last Friday, and Don, I want to tell you, I was impressed with the people that came forth from, you know, places that I didn't know existed, and from as far away as Australia and as close as the United Kingdom, including some donations that went directly to Wind Talkers there in Russia because they didn't have a way to get their rubles changed into American dollars and thought that it would help the Wind Talkers there, which it did. They were able to make PayPal donations to me, and like I said, you know, if people would just sit back, I mean, a lot of people don't realize, Don, there's, you know, how many people, if they got together and network, if they just got together and put a dollar, and we figured this all up. Megan and I were just totally impressed. We have over 12,000 hits a day on our website.
That's
and,
a lot.
And we were looking at if just people would get together and put $1 a month. And now, remember, 12,000 hits does not mean 12,000 individual people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of people will go to the website 4 or 5 times a day. But if just 10% of the people would put forth a dollar a month and just donate a dollar a month, we wouldn't have to worry about our website and our bandwidth, and we could actually increase our bandwidth and put video captions and enhance Wind Talkers at the same time. Because and this is the problem that we have in the Informational Freedom Network, as you very well know. Everybody wants everything for free, and they don't think about the work that you do behind the scenes, or I do behind the scenes, or the people over at BBSradio.com, what they do behind the scenes, and the massive amount of expenses that are incurred in putting together a internet radio station, much less those people that have small independent radio stations that live off of commercial advertising from the local community. And a lot of the Wind Talkers, matter of fact, I only know two that are not, that are financially able to take care of themselves. But a lot of these guys out here, they have their own bills and the expense, and to put the truth out, because mainstream media, and this holds true no matter where you are on this planet. Mainstream media is not giving you the full truth. And people in Russia and people in the United Kingdom and people in Eastern Europe are getting a lot more news of truth than they are in the United States.
Yeah. And isn't it ironic how the fact that they're not giving us the truth, and they don't have the interference with their broadcast that we do? Isn't that interesting? You know,
Larissa was telling me, Larissa made the comment, and Matthew, her husband, a former United States Marine who's expatriated himself into Russia, made the comment the other night. He says, you know, Drew, I've been running this radio station going on 7 years now, And we've never been kicked off the air. We've never had a power outage, unless it was a major snowstorm that has come through. We've had our telephone lines disrupted a few times, but that was not politics. It was primarily because of somebody cutting the phone line down the road that was working on the phone line or working on putting in a new water line through the community. But we've never been disrupted on the air that I've been here, and I can't even listen to Don Nikoloff or Greg Evenson or you without your shows being disrupted at least once a week. And you guys are in the United States, and you're supposed to have freedom of the press and freedom of speech. And it's invariably, the comment came, the reason I bring that up is today. Bob Chaplin was my host for my first hour, and he was inundated with bad feedback on his telephone at his location due to major storms in South America, and the fact that local community or CIA operatives were basically trying to keep him from getting the word out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you think that I'm blowing smoke somewhere, and I'm smoking some left-handed cigarette of the illegal variety. And I got news for you. You have no idea the number of people on the payroll of the United States government because they're bleeding the taxpayers, and they own the forest where the paper comes from to print this falsified paper that you're using out there called the Federal Reserve Note. And we've got people out there that are basically clairvoyants that come forth and they hear these things, they know these things, and they speak their truth, they awaken their truth, and everybody calls them a naysayer, an idiot, a kuyon. And my Sunday show, just last week, I made several statements about the kuyons. And those of you that aren't from Louisiana, you need to know a kuyon is a stupid person. And we've got a lot of kuyons in government in Louisiana. And I'm tired of it. And people are tired of it. It's not just happening in Louisiana. It's not happening in California or Ohio or Colorado. As Colorado Al puts it on my show every Thursday or Friday, he talks about the stupid pill factory. Well, that's what Colorado Al and I feel like. We feel like there's a manufacturing plant out there that's producing gel caps, and inside the gel cap is a massive dose of fluoride to basically destroy your mental capabilities to think and make people stupid.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. I can't disagree.
You know? And yeah. You know, we talk about all these things. We bring up the full truth. We have friends that have gone through the court system in Louisiana, and that have been just raked over the coals. The hot poker stuck up their posterior. They've lost small fortunes. They've been ridiculed and lost their children. Their children have been turned against them, both men and women. We've had some people in Louisiana that come forth that know what the truth is and become believers of the one true God and commit suicide. Now, I don't know. I don't get the idea why they commit suicide, but they can't handle the fact that they have been part and assisted this cabal of evil. And, it amazes me that the rest of the community around the United States, they don't pick up on it until, like today, I'm getting a couple of IMs and a couple of emails about rumor mill news putting out an article about a clerk in Louisiana that committed suicide because he had inside information, but it's 2 years old, and we in Louisiana knew about it. We talked about it. It was on mainstream newspapers in Louisiana because they couldn't hide the fact that a circuit court clerk committed suicide in the courtroom. Now, if he'd have done it at home, they would have probably been able to hide it. But the clerk committed suicide in the court, in the judge's court, that was basically denying the general public the right of appeal through the Fifth Circuit. It took an investigative team from the FBI to uncover and ferret out the truth. Now, the judge basically has not been reprimanded. He wasn't taken off the bench. He did retire, but I assume he was forced to retire. But he got no reprimand. But what about the other 2,700 people over the last 15 years that attempted to do an appeal for something, and because they were representing themselves, their appeals were denied? This is not just a court system in Louisiana, Don. This is the court system throughout the United States.
Oh, I know, Drew.
And we've got people out in California right now. Today, we have police in Vallejo, California, who are telling people, don't go out and buy a gun. Don't go out and buy a gun. Because they don't want somebody to have a tragic accident in their home. But there's a massive amount of violent crime, and I mean violent crime. We're talking about rape. We're talking about massive manslaughter going on in this small community in Vallejo, California, and the chief of police don't want people to go out and buy guns that have a legal right to purchase a weapon because they're over 18, they're not a felon, and the Constitution of the state of California says that people can carry a gun in that state as long as they don't have a bullet in the chamber or in a magazine inside the gun.
Yeah, and they got shootouts going on out in the streets with the gangs.
And the illegal immigrants, the illegal aliens, the criminals from Mexico, from Guadalajara, from other countries in South America are invaded this community, and you're right, they're having shootouts. They had a shootout in front of the police department. A shootout. The Mexican gang that is known as something 13.
MS-13.
Well, they had a shootout with another Mexican group right in front of the police jail and the courthouse. And when it was all said and done, there were three MS-13 boys dead and six of this other Mexican gang dead. And the bullet holes through the front door, I mean, you know, you can't hide all this stuff up.
No, and you know what? They put this rumor out that that's a Mexican gang. Actually, they're from Honduras. And they actually brought those people into the United States and basically taught them the ropes. Taught them how to deal drugs, taught them how to be violent, rob banks, rob stores, assault people. And they sent them back to recruit more people.
Exactly.
This is what's going on. Now,
here's I want to touch on this subject before I get over here to Laura.
Yeah.
Over in the state of Vermont, this is one of, this, ladies and gentlemen, is the 14th state of the United States Union, the Union of States, known as the United States. The state of Vermont has a bill before their state legislature put there by Representative Fred Maslach, who has done extensive research. He would rival Don Nikoloff on the research of the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution and the Declaration of Rights of the Constitution for the state of Vermont. And in doing so, Vermont's Constitution specifically comes forth, and as Maslach read the militia phrase of the Second Amendment of the Federal Constitution and the militia phrase of the Vermont State Constitution, it specifically says the right of the individual citizen, and we have C, citizen with a capital C, to bear arms is a clear mandate to do so. He believed that universal gun ownership was advocated by the framers of the federal Constitution as an antidote to a monopoly of force by the government as well as by criminals. Vermont's state constitution specifically states explicitly, the quote, the people have a right to bear arms for the defense of themselves and the state, unquote. And those persons, and this is from Mr. Fred Maslach, and those persons who are consciously, scrupulous of bearing arms shall be required to pay such equivalent. And what that means, ladies and gentlemen, is Mr. Fred Maslach, a representative in the state of Vermont, has found and discovered that any citizen in 1791, when Vermont became the 14th state, any citizen who failed to own a weapon, i.e. a single-shot musket rifle, would have to pay a fee to not own a gun. It therefore, in doing so, it was under that, it was the fact that the situation might arise that Vermonters would have to defend themselves, and they had an obligation to defend themselves and arm themselves against those encroachments on the state of Vermont, and to come to the aid of the government of Vermont if the Vermonters were attacked by what? By enemies of the state, both foreign and domestic.
Yes.
So with all of that said, ladies and gentlemen, he has got a bill before the legislature of the state of Vermont based on the original writings that produced what we refer to as the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States and to the Vermont State Constitution, that non-gun owners are going to be required to pay a $500 fee to the state per year for the luxury of going about unarmed and the privilege of not owning a gun. Vermont is the only state in the union that has no concealed carry permit. It is a citizen's right to keep and bear arms. It is a citizen's right to have in his possession a firearm under his coat or in his glove box, or on his person, in his waistband, hidden or unhidden. There are exceptions to places that he should not take, and he is not allowed to take his weapon. That of a bar, in which he is a participant, a participant in partaking the refreshment of liquor, or into a courthouse where he is a participant in a trial or have been a participant in a trial within the last 7 years. So that means if I want to go down to the courthouse and I haven't been there for a traffic offense or any other mundane offense or even a criminal offense, whatever, I haven't been in that court in the last 7 years, I can walk in there with my gun underneath my coat, and they won't say squat about it. You won't find metal detectors in Vermont courthouses. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Vermont has got the lowest crime rate in the United States outside of Alaska and Hawaii. Now, that should tell you something, people. The lowest crime rate? And who ranks just above them in the lowest crime rate? Montana. So what's the deal here? The states that all have very liberal gun laws, meaning the right to the people to carry and bear arms, like Arizona, New Mexico, Montana, Vermont, Alaska, they can all carry their weapons, and crime is almost nil to non-existence. The crime rate in Hawaii is not so bad because where are they going to run to? They can't run across the state line. They may have a freeway over there, but I've been trying to find out where that freeway interstates with another state. Do they have some tunnel that goes under the Pacific Ocean that comes over to California or something? I don't get the drift of why they have interstates in Hawaii. But their crime rate is low because people don't have no place to go if they were to commit a crime.
Yeah. Well, Drew, I want to jump over to the other topic before we run out of time.
We want to get over to something that is true to my heart, and that is the great-granddaughter of Dwight David Eisenhower. And we need to talk about this, ladies and gentlemen, because Ike's great-granddaughter has come forth and made some very public statements, and we have been, as Don Nikoloff has already brought knowledge to you, Mr. Eisenhower wasn't born in America. And he's got, I understand, you found some more information and has now got documentation to prove the cover-up of Dwight David Eisenhower.
Yeah, actually, that's going to be coming out very soon now. I guess it's divine providence. There is more information that I'm introducing into the original story, which is supporting my conclusions, my deductions, and certainly the research that I've put together by connecting dots scattered about the planet.
And Don, I think the reason that Laura has come out is because there's been a lot of information about your articles on Dwight David Eisenhower, and she is the daughter of David Eisenhower and Tricia Nixon.
Mm-hmm. This is
so all of that said, she's coming out here and letting people know, not that her great-grandfather was possibly born somewhere. She's letting everybody know that she's been targeted by people in intelligence agencies that are attached to a Mars colony. And she made this revelation on a radio show the other night. Now, Don, you've read the article out there, and I've read the article, and I see some holes. But what I do see here is, why did they bring this article out now? Because I personally feel that Laura is manipulated and mind-controlled.
Oh, yes. Let me preface this. I wanted to actually say something before we went into the topic, so allow me to do that.
Ah, well, I'm sorry. I got a big mouth.
It is still my show.
I take it over.
All right.
Call a Marine if you come in. We come in. We'll take it.
As you correctly pointed out, I came across an article. I was sent an article revealing a 1952 birth certificate scandal that was reported, but it didn't reach the level of a scandal because it was quashed. A guy named Lonnie F. Roberts allegedly tried to piece together a birth certificate by sending documents out to people that were intended to be converted into affidavits that were going to say, I witnessed the birth of Dwight David Eisenhower in Denison, Texas. Now, we'll just cut straight to the chase, because that's all in the articles. If you want to read both the article that introduced that which is called Eisenhower's 1952 birth certificate fraud revealed. Okay. Then there's follow-up research in Teenage Mutant Ninja Eisenhower's. Two parts to that article. And the articles reveal a tremendous amount of information previously unknown to the public. And I was correct in discerning the time frame and when this attempt at creating a false birth certificate actually occurred. And if you just compare it to a 1924 document at Ellis Island, where he arrived from Panama Canal Zone on a ship with other American soldiers on the 27th of September, to be exact, in 1924, there was a declaration in the document, typewritten, that he was from Tyler, Texas, not Denison, Texas. Via old State Route 69, 130 miles away, via the modern highways going through the Dallas-Fort Worth area from Denison down south and actually southwest and then southeast toward Tyler. It's 164 miles via the modern highways today. So you can't make that kind of mistake. You can't make such a statement and then backtrack and claim you were born somewhere else. It just doesn't work that way. Now, we have the same issue going on today with the long-legged Mac Daddy, so it has everything to do with what's going on today. Now, this article that you're describing reveals the recruitment of Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, the granddaughter of Dwight David Eisenhower. It was written
great granddaughter.
It was written by Alfred Weber. Alfred Weber is a writer for Exopolitics, and I have to tell you honestly, I've heard Alfred Weber speak. He's a great public speaker. I heard him give a lecture at one of the conspiracy conferences a few years ago on DVD. And I would swear that he has great admiration for my research, because he was revealing things about the Bush clan, the Sherfs, as we know them now, and many other aspects of my research. The only thing was, I was disappointed that I didn't get attribution for my research that was used in his lecture. Okay? So take that into account. Now, I'm probably the only person that has written an article about Eisenhower, actually three articles about Eisenhower that have created a firestorm of information and a flurry of follow-up Eisenhower articles. You have to admit that. No one was talking about Eisenhower except an occasional reference to his farewell speech at West Point, where he mentioned the military-industrial complex, warning us about it. But you see, I don't see that as a genuine statement. I see that as his way of trying to bow out, as if everything he did for this country was of great historical significance. And in a way it was, because much of it was hidden. There was contact that Eisenhower had with alien civilizations that were here on the planet and visiting the planet. And they were on Mars at least 7 years before they claimed to have gone to the moon. I've been saying that for a number of years, and that is significant, because here is a relative making the same claim. Actually, great-granddaughter is how she's described. Okay, so that she would be taken into this, and they're saying that they used looking glass technology, or they used time travel technology, and saw that she would be the most appropriate person to seed a new colony there. And they're trying to revive their old ISIS, or some pronounce it ISIS. Now we get into Egyptian mysticism. Now we and Osiris, okay? Now you are on the edge of ritual bloodline practices that have gone on for hundreds, even thousands of years. They're trying to keep this bloodline going, and according to her, it's in case that there's a major catastrophe on the earth, They have to repopulate the other planet. Why not just get your act together here, folks? You know, that makes a lot, heck of a lot more sense than trying to go to another planet to do the same thing. You see, and how are they doing this? How are they paying for this? They're stealing money from us. All the money that they've stolen from us since the inception of this nation has gone to fund private projects like that. Underground bases, underground tunnel systems, high-speed rail systems. We have the pictures. The books have been written. The witnesses have come forward for many, many years. So we're not alluding to anything new here, are we, Drew?
No, I mean, on my own collection of News and Views, there is archived the equipment, the machinery. People think that we're nuts, but I've actually archived photographs that the United States Air Force declassified where there's 23 men. And I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't see any women there, but there were 23 men standing shoulder to shoulder next to this machine that goes to bedrock and eats through bedrock. And the 23 men stood in front of this machine, and that's how wide it was.
Yeah,
it's in a cross diameter.
It's a nuclear powered tunnel boring machine that actually
turns. And that's exactly right. A nuclear powered tunnel boring machine that roughly is 112 feet wide and approximately 600 feet in length. Ladies and gentlemen, the sucker goes through bedrock at approximately 3 miles an hour. Now, if they've had this machine in this picture was taken in 1974. Ladies and gentlemen, this was just one of nine machines that I found in the United States government budget director's expenses being allotted in that time frame. There's probably more than that that have been built that have been classified as top secret. But, ladies and gentlemen, I've actually been next to one of these machines and seen this machine and know what its capabilities are.
Mm-hmm.
And that is go right to dig a hole, not a hole, a tunnel, underground, anywhere from a half a mile to a mile below the surface, and travel anywhere it wants to go.
Yes. Now let's go back to the topic here, because we could spend a whole show on that.
We could spend 2 weeks on shows, Don.
Okay, now there are some disclosures that come up, and I've talked about these individuals from time to time. Don't know them personally. I know a lot about what they do. One is a physicist by the name of Harold Puthoff, or Hal Puthoff, Dr. Hal Puthoff. One of the founders of the remote viewing project at Stanford Research Institute, otherwise known as SRI, in conjunction with Ingo Swann. They put this remote viewing project together, and then the government said, oh, they disbanded that many years ago. That is not true. Now, we've been revealing these truths several times a week, if not every night, on this show for the past 2.5 years. We've talked about this to some extent. I've talked about this with Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot. And Bill Ryan asked me what my thoughts were, what my impressions were about Mars. And I said, I know that we were up there since early 1960s, likely 1962. I'm not the only one that has said this. There are people coming out that claim they were there. This has been going on for a long time.
Don, I think John Fitzgerald Kennedy was preparing the American people to discuss those facts in his belief of saying we will put a man on the moon within the next 10 years. I feel that he was preparing the nation to advise them of extraterrestrial life on other planets, because the evidence even then demonstrated that citizen-driven extraterrestrial and interdimensional aircraft, for lack of a better word, spacecraft, was known to him, and the Disclosure Project that's out there was brought forth information disclosing the just recent pictures of, when I say recent, I mean the 23rd day of January, where it's quite evident that a photograph was taken of the sun, monitoring the sun for solar flares, and an extraterrestrial super-sized craft was caught in an image between the sun and the earth. And it may have been that right there at that specific location, there is a, for lack of a better term or technology, a Stargate.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel? How do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, Michael Relf, for many years has been reporting that that he had been there, and you know these people undergo a tremendous amount of mind control. Why would you want to make somebody believe that they were there? Okay, they've been controlled to forget that they were there, you see?
Right.
And these
exactly.
memories come back. And Stephanie Relf actually guided him through his recovery and deprogrammed him. And he's spent the rest of his life since then protecting himself. Okay? So here we have a situation now where this great-granddaughter of Eisenhower is approached in 2006. And they refer to the man that they send to her to befriend her and fall in love with her and have children, twins, by the way. Remember the pre-occupation, this obsession that Mengele had with twins? It's the same thing. And they say they're referring to Hitler dying when Hitler died and the Nazis lost the war. Well, Hitler died in 2004, so let's get that straight, okay? Hitler died in 2004. In Maryland, of all places, and he was a patient at the Clinton nursing home. Okay, and that will come out in a future piece, but I've got plenty of evidence to show that. And Otto Skorzeny, who I wrote about in my Scherf piece, came forward with that information, and they were real fast and real quick to dispel the rumors that the man that had died in 2004 was 114 years old. Boy, did they go out of their way to say he could only have been 92. And the guy didn't have any documentation as to how old he was. Okay, but we knew his alias, and we knew that for them to get a gerontologist from UCLA to come and write this emergency paper that there's no way he could have been that old. It was just more of a cover-up, another cover-up. So they assign an agent to her, Agent X. Wouldn't you call your husband by his name? I mean, that's the normal thing people do. But he's an agent. You see, they assigned a handler. So it's quite obvious that she's mind-controlled. I wouldn't doubt that in the least. And there's a lot of New Age drivel that's associated with the story, that makes certain affirmations about the name of the Earth. They're calling the Earth Gaia. Okay, that's a very popular New Age term that's used, and that term comes from New Agers. That does not come from other planets that know the history of this Earth. And you know that we've discussed the United Galactic Federation on this show as well, and I can tell you that it's more spin. It's more of this feel-good stuff. They might as well start talking about Misara while they're at it, you know.
And I've got, you know, we have people out there say that Americans or even Europeans don't live to be over 110. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. I have a gentleman that comes on my show on Tuesday, Dr. Wayne Pickering, who has documented 40 or 50 men and women who have lived to be over 130 years old in good health because of their diet, and the combining of foods and eating foods. This man, he's not talking about Hitler or anybody else. He talks about the longevity that's possible. not for those of us that believe Hitler possibly lived. It is the belief that you can, and you, the listeners to this show, can do so. So when Don talks about Hitler being 114, if the man was part of the inner circle, obviously he had the knowledge of the perfect foods to eat and the longevity of life. And maybe in the last 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 years, he was a mental case. Who knows? I wasn't there.
Drew, they were getting and are getting the characters like Kissinger and Brzezinski and probably even Skorzeny to an extent. All of these guys were getting certain types of genetic treatment. Okay.
Exactly. I believe that wholeheartedly. I actually, and it's one of the things that you and your radio show has brought forth. An individual that called from the intergalactic confederation, and you know, the intervention of these people would violate a universal law of non-intervention. But we, as commoners, are finding and shooting photographs of Earth-size, ladies and gentlemen, solar, for the lack of a better term, UFO spaceships accessing and deaccessing the solar system through some form of a stargate out there. And you've got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, if we are capturing this through our telescopes that are being designed by the low guy, the little guy out here that doesn't have vast amounts of money, Can you not imagine what the powers to be in the military with the access and NASA has with all of the telescopes and the control of the satellite monitoring dishes that are located in Arizona and New Mexico? Do you think that the movie Contact that was put out in the 90s was just some make-believe? I think the movie was basically put out there to wine and dine you and put you to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And here you have the very people that send Jodie Foster out to space denying everything she sees, you see. They have to cover it up. They can't allow the truth to come out at any cost. After all the billions of dollars they spent in the process of sending her someplace.
Oh yeah. Well, they said it was a cover up by one of the richest men and the guy, the richest man on the planet, and basically they were alluding him to be Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
And Howard Hughes, ladies and gentlemen, at one time was probably worth more money than George Soros is today in the confines of the real American dollars of the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Howard Hughes was likely far more wealthy than Bill Gates is today.
Yeah, and very likely he was murdered and replaced with a double.
And, possible.
Yeah. So anyway, there are numerous phrases used within this article. And I'm not saying that the girl is not telling the truth. But definitely there is a lot of spin to this thing, and it, like you said, you described it as holes. Maybe they're wormholes, you know, in the story. But it smacks of you know, when they're saying, okay, the return of the divine feminine. You see, this is something that secretly they hold. You know, the Vatican has this practice that they hold on to. Okay, they're my goodness, they're not worshiping Jesus, they're worshiping Mother Mary. Okay, and this obsession with the Isis and Osiris. Okay, Clinton is wearing an Osiris bangle of some sort on a tuxedo in a picture that Dr. Henry Makow released about a year ago, showing this satanic symbolism that the Clintons were using at a political rally. with a huge American flag and the stars upside down, so that the normal two points of the stars that face downward or facing upwards, symbolizing the horns of Satan. Okay, these people are Satanists, and this is a cult. Okay, this comes from a cult. It's a cultic study. The people are all involved in the occult, and they're involved in secret societies. She says so herself. Knights Templar and Freemasonry. And despite what the Blue Lodge people think about Masonry, when you get up into the higher branches of Masonry, you get into who's planning the wars, who's carrying out the wars, who's stealing all the money, the gold, the wealth of nations around the world. And who's ultimately responsible for murder? That's a serious issue. So why my question, and when I sent this link to you, Drew, about this article, notice how I said I reserve caution as to why this was released right now and what the intentions are behind it. Because I said rational caution, because here is written by a man that I know has used my research in his talks, not crediting me for my research. And again, now we have all these characters who are suddenly revealing something as if my listeners haven't heard me talk about that on this show. And I'm not saying I'm the only one, mind you. We've talked about this on your show. We've talked about this on Dr. A. Truat's show. Jeff Rentz has been talking about these topics for years on his programs, has he not?
Very true. And other Wind Talker shows out there, Dr. A. Truat has talked about it. The Vindication has come forth. Even a writer for the Times-Picayune has written about it, giving credit to you and to Dr. A. Truat for bringing forth factual information. And I quote, "Mr. Nikoloff will be found sane after all. Attached is a link to a mind-blowing article, especially in light of Don's most recent articles, and the website is http://directlightproductions.com, and discussions on a Marines disquisition hosted by Vietnam veteran Drew Raines, the story behind the story with Dr. A. Truat, and Don's own 2.5 years worth of radio broadcast. Many have attempted to tarnish the local Marine for his tenacity to find out the truth and insights, to say nothing of the insult to Mr. Nikoloff and Dr. Ott." Ladies and gentlemen, that's an article coming that's being printed in the Times-Picayune, and it was it's information that's going out today around the world. The truth is coming out. Granted, there are some holes in Laura's article, but Don, my question to you specifically is, we go back to what I said at the beginning. Why now? Why is this being come forth? And this is, she did a 2-hour radio show out there and talked about this, and why now is all this information being brought forth as Dr. Ott would say, the story behind the story? What is the story behind the story?
It's a very, very simple answer, okay? Well, they got everybody now looking up in the sky to see what they can see happening on Mars. They're not looking right here underneath their noses or underneath their feet. This is diversion. This is an old, old tactic that's been used over and over again. What does she mention reptilians at all in her 2-hour talk, in her 2-hour interview? I would venture to guess she doesn't, because there's not a mention at all within the article. Okay, so who is here now has everything to do with why this story came out. That's the answer to your question. Is succinctly and precisely as I can give it.
Makes sense.
Okay?
Makes sense.
They don't want us seeing what's going on, because there's been a lot of talk about this, quite a bit. A. Truat and I talked about it Monday. Dr. Mike Castle and I talked about it on Tuesday. We almost talked about it last night with Allison Jones, but we stuck to vaccines. Okay? But certainly we could talk about it. she could talk about it as well. I'm certain of that, as well as many of my listeners.
And I want to break. I want to break and bring up one thing that Dr. Odd has brought out several times on his show and your show, as well as my show, and that is that the symbols out there that is put forth on a website. I forgot the name of the website. My mind went blank right as I said. You know how that works? I didn't get enough tea today. What was the name of that site, Drew? WhatDoesItMean.com. Right on their main webpage, they have the symbols up there at the top of the Magdalene and the worship of Magdalene. And these are the women of Magdalene that run this website. WhatDoesItMean.com. And ladies and gentlemen, it's all to bring disparity of your belief and attempt to destroy your belief. There's a movie in the theaters today called The Book of Eli. And this may be a pronouncement of showing you things that are about to come worldwide. And the fact that there is going to be an attempt to destroy all the Bibles and the power that the Bible has. And that's what this movie really depicts throughout its sequence, is the power of the word of the Creator that can unite people and understand that we have got to unite together and help each other fight the evil. That's what the bottom line of that particular movie is. And other shows out there, Independence Day was about the uniting of the world to fight the extraterrestrial. Many of you that have, if you've never seen Independence Day, you need to take time to watch it, because it actually lays the groundwork of a super-sized UFOs. And the ones that I talk about from the pictures that are in the crosslay of the sun would make that one that is used, the depiction of one that's used in the movie Independence Day, look like the eye of a shoelace on a shoe. That's how big that sucker is that is captured. So, Don, my point to you is. My synopsis and my analyst is to say that everything's coming to full circle, in as much as people on this planet, whether they live in a state in the United States of America, whether they live in Greece or Portugal or Spain or Ireland or Iceland, they're all upset. Even Iran, the average person is upset at government. China has dispatched a full division of troops to the far western side of China to call riots. And that makes this is the third division in the third area of China that they've had to send three divisions of Chinese troops out there. And yet we've got American naysayers like Alex Jones and Steve Quayle, and I named them by name because I'm tired of hearing their scare tactics out here that the Russians are coming and blue helmets are coming and they're going to be monitoring your cities. Two battalions are coming to the United States, and people are running scared. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you need to grab a hold of your state representatives, and you need to grab a hold of them and shake them and let them know that up in the state of Vermont, one of the smallest sovereign republics of the state of the Union, the crime rate is the lowest in the nation because everybody carries a weapon, or the fear to the criminals is everybody has a weapon. Do you know that Vermont has got the least amount of illegal immigrants? in any other state in the union, not because of the size of the population, because the sheriff's departments arrest them and calls down to Washington and says, you send somebody up here and put them on, or we're going to put them handcuffed to a plane and we're going to fly them down to you. Now, that makes a whole lot of sense, ladies and gentlemen. They arrest them going and coming. We've got, right here in Arkansas, Don, we've got illegal immigrants drawing welfare, food stamps, getting free medical. And yet, they're illegal immigrants. They don't pay taxes of any kind unless they buy food or services, but they have driver's licenses. Many of them don't have insurance on their cars because the insurance company won't sell them insurance. We got a problem, and people are waking up, not just in the Republic states of the United States of America. They're waking up in the territories of Canada, in the territories of Australia, in New Zealand, in Ireland, in Wales, in Scotland, in Germany, in Bavaria. They're waking up in the rural areas of Spain. They're waking up in the small island of Greece. They're waking up in the Alps of Italy. Ladies and gentlemen, we aren't alone, but we are being dumbed down, much like a Kulon, because we're not investigating the truth. And thank God for people like Don Nikoloff, who I look to as the Thomas Paine of the 21st century. That's my 2 cents, Don.
Well, Drew, thank you for your kind words and your insights. We're out of time. Unfortunately, I got to say goodbye.
I got plenty of time.
But again, I want to direct folks to your website, www.amd.elequity.com. And if they'd like to sign up for your news and views, it is free. And you send that out every morning. I can attest to that. certainly they can read some of the many stories that you uncover that the mainstream media won't touch and that they should know about. So I want to thank.
Well, it's articles, Don, that little bitty mainstream will play, or even big stream will play, but they hide it on page 9 or 14. And thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes. Okay. Drew, we want to also remind the listeners you'll be with us again next week, next Thursday at this same time. And I want to thank you very much. I'll also be on your show this coming Monday. So look forward to that as well.
One last thing before we go. Tomorrow is the birthday for the man that invaded the South in the War of Northern Aggression. His name is Abraham Lincoln.
Well, we'll remember that, won't we? All right, Drew, you have a good night, and I'll talk to you soon.
God bless.
Okay.
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. Special thanks go to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world for broadcasting this show, either live or in an archive, as well as blogtalkradio.com. Also, like to thank Seth Hendrick for the sound tonight at bbsradio.com. Also, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me again tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist inventor Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.